If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 16. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 3 and 7 and 8. Part of this passage will be familiar to you because I preached on it a few weeks ago. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you'll find Bibles in the chair pockets around you. So Psalm 16, beginning in verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. And then down to verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Let's pray. Father, for the past few days we've had rain, and the prospect of rain for the next few days, Lord. In your word, you tell us that because of your goodness, you send the sunshine on those who love you and those who don't love you, the rain, Lord, on those who love you and those who don't love you. And rain isn't spoken of there in a negative sense. It was necessary for there to be sun and rain in order for crops to grow, in order for fields to be fruitful. And so what you're saying there, Father, is that because of your goodness, even those who don't know you are beneficiaries of good things. Lord, I thank you for the heart that you have. I thank you that you are a good God, a merciful God, a patient God. I thank you that you are a righteous God, that you are a God who never lies, that we can trust you, Lord. I thank you for your word in which you've tried to reveal yourself to us and draw us to yourself, Lord, to show us how to live in the midst of a broken world, how to love in the midst of a broken world. And Father, I pray now that you would teach us, that you would set a guard over my lips, that I would say those things that are right and true, and that you would be exalted among us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned to you, I spoke on those first verses in Psalm 16 a few weeks ago, and at the time when we were looking at this passage, I asked you a question: how precious to you is the church? And by that, I didn't mean the institutional structure of the church, but your spiritual brothers and sisters who share this world with you, your brothers and sisters in this room. Our usual tendency left over from our fallen nature is to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and to think more lowly of others than we ought. But in this psalm, when David speaks of himself, he writes, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. And when David speaks of his fellow believers, he writes, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. In regard to himself, David has an attitude of humility, and in regard to others, David has a genuine appreciation. David has the very attitude that we're called to have in the New Testament. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you, Paul writes in Romans 12:3, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And then later in verse 10 of Romans 12, he adds, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Paul repeats the same counsel in 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So David's expressing the very attitude toward himself and others that we're all called to have as believers, as Christians, even though we don't often have that attitude. Of course, we acknowledge with our lips that we're sinners, undeserving of God's mercy and love. But in our hearts, we don't necessarily believe that. And we say that we love our fellow believers in Christ because we know that's what we're supposed to say, but it isn't really the same degree of love that David professes in this psalm. I don't think David was like that. I don't think David was simply pretending to believe that his goodness was nothing apart from God, or pretending that his fellow believers were saints on the earth, the excellent ones in whom was all his delight. I think David actually believed those truths from the very deepest level of his being. And I say that because of the way David begins this statement in verse 2 of Psalm 16. O my soul, you have said to the Lord. So this isn't just something David is saying because it's the right thing to say. This is something David believes in his soul at the most basic level of who he is as a person. So how did David come to this place of genuine humility in regard to himself and sincere appreciation for the people around him? Well, I think the answer is down in verses 7 and 8. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel, David writes. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. You see, it is possible to have the perspective, my goodness is nothing apart from you, in a way that's unhealthy, in a way that comes from actually a poor self-image and a feeling of worthlessness. But that psychologically maladjusted perspective doesn't come from a person having his eyes focused on God. That perspective comes from a person whose eyes are actually focused on himself. He's constantly comparing himself with other people, looking at all the ways he doesn't measure up, all the things they have that he doesn't have, all the courtesies they're shown that he's not, all the advantages they have that he doesn't. Every encounter that the insecure person have with another person, no matter how brief, becomes another opportunity to measure his own adequacy. And more often than not, he comes away from that encounter feeling inadequate. So he feels lousy about himself, worthless, all because the center of his attention is himself. That's not the same lowliness of mind. That's not the humility that David is expressing in this passage. When David writes, "You are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you," David isn't writing that because he has a worthless opinion of himself. He's writing that because of the high opinion he has of God. And he has spent so much time thinking about God, getting to know God, as he's thought about all the ways that God has moved in creation, in history, in his own life. His perception of God, his appreciation for God has grown bigger and bigger and bigger. So that over time, David has come to realize that everything he is and everything he has, including his own goodness, is nothing apart from God. But that growing realization doesn't make him feel worse about himself. It makes him feel better about God, more reverence for God, more appreciation for the relationship he has with God. Let me try to explain it another way. When you were a child, did you ever have a hero? Someone you really looked up to and almost idolized? Maybe your dad or mom, or an older brother or sister, maybe a sports figure. Around 1980, there was a commercial that came out that's actually listed as one of the top 10 commercials of all time. And it was about a little boy and a Pittsburgh Steelers football player named Mean Joe Green. In the commercial, the Steelers had just lost a football game, and Mean Joe Green was walking into the tunnel with his teammates, all despondent after the loss and passing by the fans without saying a word. And among those fans was a little boy just standing there with a Coke in his hand, waiting to see his hero, Mean Joe Green. And Mean Joe walked right past him. He was the last player to come off the field, his jersey slung over his shoulder, and he didn't say a word to the little boy. And the little boy looked down at the ground, disappointed and dejected, and then he realized that Joe was probably tired and thirsty and could use something to drink. And he had a bottle of Coke. So he offered it to Joe, and Joe took it. And then Joe drank down that whole bottle of Coke without taking a breath, and then started back down the tunnel. But then after just a few more steps, Joe turned around. Mean Joe Green turned around, and he looked back at the boy. "Hey, kid, thanks." And then he lifted the jersey off his shoulder and tossed it to the boy. And a big smile spread across the little boy's face, and he lit up like he'd just been given $1 million. He'd finally met his hero, had given something to his hero, and now his hero had given something to him in return. So let me ask you a question. Did that little boy feel less about himself because of how much he looked up to Mean Joe Green? Of course not. He felt privileged. He felt better about himself because this football player, so gifted, so capable, a Hall of Fame athlete, someone he probably hoped to be like someday, had recognized him. That made him feel better about himself. Well, that's the same way David felt about God. God was his hero. "You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you," David writes. And those words aren't spoken because David has a low opinion of himself. They're spoken because David has such a high opinion of God. And the fact that David has a high opinion of God and a relationship with this God of whom he has such a high opinion actually causes David to have a better opinion of himself. More confidence in what he's able to accomplish. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago in referring to David's encounter with Goliath that that's where his strength came from. The Israelites were at war with the Philistines, the Israelites on one side of the valley, the Philistines on the other. But they weren't fighting. Instead, each day, Goliath would come out, the champion of the Philistines, to challenge the Israelites to send out their champion, man on man, and then whichever man won, that side would win. For days, Goliath would issue this challenge, and no Israelite would step forward. David comes down, only a teenage boy, to bring supplies to his brothers who are in the army. And he's there when Goliath issues this challenge. And David cries out, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the army of the living God?" And his brothers are upset because here he is, a teenage boy, acting with such bravado. But in 1 Samuel 17, verse 31, we're told, "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, the king, and he sent for David. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him,'" because of Goliath, "'your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth and he a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover," David said, "'the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" That's where David's confidence was coming from his high opinion of God. God had been with him in the past. God would be with him now. There's nothing too hard for God to do. Then how does that high opinion of God affect David's opinions of others? in Psalm 16, as for the saints who are on the earth, those other people who also have a high opinion of God, they are the excellent ones in whom my soul delights, David writes. For those of you who are Washington Commanders fans, formerly Washington Redskins, let me ask you a question. Would you rather watch this afternoon's game with people who are also Washington fans, or with people who don't like the Commanders, like, say, Cowboys fans? Obviously, you'll enjoy watching it more with Washington Commanders fans. They are the excellent ones in whom my soul delights. Of course, when David says that, he isn't speaking about the Washington Commanders. He's writing that about his fellow fans of God. Just like you enjoy being around other people who share your passion for the Commanders, David enjoyed being around people who shared his passion for God. He enjoyed talking with them about God. He enjoyed worshiping God with them. He looked for the good in them. He wanted the best for them. But David has this perspective on his fellow believers, not because he has his eyes on himself, nor even on his fellow believers, but because he has his eyes on God. I have set the Lord always before me, David tells us in verse 8. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So if we're ever going to love God the way we should love God, if we're ever going to love others the way we should love others, guess where our focus needs to be? It has to be on God. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And here again, our football analogy can help us understand what David's talking about. If you're a Washington football fan, how did you develop such a passion for the team? And how do you maintain that passion? Well, at some point, you started watching the Commanders, probably when they were still the Redskins. Maybe because your parents were Skins fans, or your grandparents, or your friends. Maybe it was because you went to a game one time and you enjoyed it, and then you started watching more Washington Redskins games, and maybe even attending Redskins games whenever you had the chance. You started talking with other people about the Skins and reading up on the Skins. You started remembering the names of some of the players and the positions they played. You started reading the sports section in the newspaper or sports blogs on the internet. You started listening to sports radio and ESPN. You began buying Redskin hats and Redskin jerseys and Redskin sweatshirts and t-shirts. You may even have Redskins pajamas or Redskins underwear. You set the Redskins always before you, so that now your passion for whatever Washington calls its team is so strong, you'll never be moved. You'll never stop being a Washington football fan or a Florida fan as long as you live. Well, that's the same thing David's talking about here. Only instead of setting Washington football team always before him, David tells us, I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Simply put, David has saturated his life with God. When he wakes up in the morning, he's thinking about God. When he goes to bed at night, he's thinking about God. He reads the scriptures, and he doesn't just read the scriptures, he memorizes scripture. He meditates on the scriptures. Just like the fans of sports teams read the articles and watch the videos about their teams and memorize the statistics about their teams. And David talks with other people about God, just like sports fans talk with other people about their favorite teams. And David actually talks with God. He prays. Can you imagine how privileged a fan would feel if he had the chance to sit down and talk with Ron Rivera one-on-one, or to be able to phone up the coach anytime and talk to him, to give him advice? But the Bible tells us that ability to talk one-on-one is a privilege we have with God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, Philippians 4:6 tells us. Are you guys who are Commanders fans anxious about your team this year? Would you like to be able to call up the coach and talk with him about it? Well, David knew that he had someone higher than Ron Rivera he could talk to, and I don't mean Dan Snyder. And so he talked to him every day as often as he wanted. That's what David means when he says, I have set the Lord always before me. He was reading about God. He was thinking about God. He was talking with people about God. He was scheduling special times when he could be with God. The very same things that you do if you're a fan of the Commanders or the Cowboys or the Terrapins or the Nationals are the very same things that David was doing, only the focus of his attention wasn't a sports team. It was God. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And that's what we have to do if we're ever going to love God the way we should love God. If we're ever going to see ourselves the way we should see ourselves. If we're ever going to love people the way we should love people. We've got to saturate our lives with God. We've got to become a fan of God. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Let's pray.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.